Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. And today we have a special guest, Braden, former producer Braden. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having
me. It's also Mother's Day, so shout out to all the MILFs out there. Today we're going to be doing Glory Road, a sports drama from 2006. It starred Josh Lucas as Coach Don Haskins, Derek Luke as Bobby Joe Hill, who's kind of the primary point guard or primary guard. And then John Voight, you know, arguably a cameo appearance. He plays Adolph Rupp, which is a, adversarial coach in the big game. And then Tatiana Ali is also in this movie, which was great. And I don't know, do you guys know any of the other actors? Is anyone worth mentioning?
Yeah, the assistant coach is Cheddar Bob from 8 Mile.
Good point, good point.
One of the guys is Craig Shiloh from...
Blue Mountain State.
And Orson Otis is Hutch in the middle, and then...
I think the guy Emily he plays, Deschanel, Cherry Armstrong, I think he's Bones. Been in a few things. And then the wife is Bones, yeah, obviously.
Okay. Very nice. So this movie, the summary of this movie is that in 1965, the coach of the high school girl basketball team, Don Haskins, is invited by Texas Western Miners to be their coach. Despite the lack of budget, Haskins sees the chance to dispute the NCAA and moves with his wife and children to the college dormitory. He recruits 7 talented and rejected black players to play with 4 white players and 1 Hispanic player. And he formed a legendary team that won the 1966 national championship against the powerhouse Kentucky and their racist-ass coach named Adolph.
That's
the gist of the movie. And it starts out in his recruitment phase because he just got recruited himself to Texas Western, which is now modern day UT El Paso. So he goes to the school and he's going to be their basketball coach. He's going to focus on fundamental basketball, and he just needs some talent. So recruiting is phase one of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. He just goes and finds some... I mean, it seems like he only... Does he only recruit the black players?
Well, he tries to recruit at, like, the summer league or whatever, and everyone just turns him down because they've never heard of his school.
Because this is, like...
Like, that one... There's, like, the one scene with the kid that's just like, sorry, coach, I'm partial to winning, and kind of just blows him off.
Yeah. He doesn't... Yeah, he doesn't try too hard. He very quickly figures out that, he's going to have to get some black players. And he does. He gets 7 of them. Although they said he had like 2 scholarships. So I guess some of these guys are just paying their way. Right?
Yeah, the guy said he was going to shake out a few more scholarships, but it wasn't really clear where they landed on that.
You would have thought that, like, because they do have one of the boosters, like, be sort of a minor character. Who's kind of racist. I mean, he's very racist, I guess, but he gets over it, I guess. And, you know, he seems to pay for, like, most of the program. You would think that, like, there'd be some kind of conflict when they're like, oh, we shook out some money. Oh, they gave it all to the black kids. Like, and that would be the conflict, but that never comes up. Maybe they just got all these guys full rides, which I guess is nice. It's apparently a mining college, right?
So yeah, they're the miners. Like,
do they all just learn about mining? Is that the only major?
I guess the only class we really see is like a geology class of some kind.
Yeah, geology. Yeah, they're talking about rocks the whole time.
So, I mean, it is West Texas, right?
And he did say it was the hole digging school at some point. So yeah, it does. Does seem like it's all very mining focused.
It's funny that you bring up the scholarships because, like, what's the inflation adjusted tuition back then? Is it like the modern day $500? Like, how expensive could it have been?
Yeah, I was gonna say when there's like the scene where the guy just pulls out a wad of cash from his wallet. Was that him just paying the tuition of all the kids he just recruited or something? Like,
yeah, it's weird. At the beginning, the coach is like, oh, we don't have money for gas. Well, don't worry, you're going... I don't actually know how much money was worth back then, but he's like, you're going to New York, so don't worry about it. And the guy like calls because he went to recruit some kids at what appeared to be a park. And in a scene that is not representative of all African Americans, they rob him and strip him to his skivvies. And then he calls and says he needs an extra $100. He needs to be wired $100. It's like, do you need to, you know, do you, like, can he just wire that? With, I mean, they didn't have gas money. How much was gas going to cost compared to the $100 for this guy who is in New York, you know? It's like, I don't really know. I don't know why that was, like, sort of a thing and then not a thing. But who knows? But, I mean, the recruiting is not super important or interesting.
Well, I think it is important to mention, because I did some research on the school and the team itself. Mm-hmm. The movie makes it seem like he went out and recruited all seven of these players at the same time, right? And they were all in the same class. But that's not the case. They were sophomores, juniors, and seniors. So, I think it was a culmination. It wasn't just like he got recruited by Texas Western to be the coach, went out and got seven black players.
I see.
So that's what we were wondering. Because I was like,
so maybe that's where the scholarship stuff plays in. Maybe he got a couple a year or something like that and got them over time, you know?
But I think it makes for a more dramatic movie if he goes out and gets all seven black players fresh.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe Wikipedia was wrong. Or maybe I'm, you know, assuming that if they were sophomores, juniors, and seniors, that his recruitment, because his recruitment, literally, he's going to, like, the fucking local park. He's going to a basketball hoop in the neighborhood. He's going to, like, I don't know, the docks.
Yeah, it seemed like Bobby Joe Hill was the only one he, like, went to an actual game and recruited from a game.
Yeah, so I doubt he's going to other schools' basketball games or summer leagues and saying, hey, you currently play for this other school, why don't you come play for me? But maybe he did, and I don't know, you know, I didn't research too much, but the movie made it seem like it was all recruiting at once. I have reason to believe it wasn't, but anyway.
Yeah, so, I actually didn't realize that, yeah.
So he gets through the recruiting, and it turns into a little bit of tough love, you know, typical coach-player relationships developing. He's got some high physical demands. He starts running them. I guess he heavily penalize their mistakes as well, you know, make them run.
Yeah, well, he does the typical coach thing where it's like, oh, you guys did the bad things, so now everybody's punished, or like everybody else is punished while you have to watch kind of thing to make you feel bad.
To the baseline, you know. I mean, it's done well in other movies.
Yeah, they were bitten by the evil worm, you know.
it had done well in other movies as recently as the year before this movie came out. Coach Carter came out in 2005.
This is a period piece, so it is like set earlier, but it came out the year after Coach Carter.
The year after, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he recruits all the kids. It's sort of funny. I always talk about the show Mindhunter, and in Mindhunter, they're like profilers, and at some point they're called in to help a case in, I think, Atlanta, and it's a bunch of black kids have been murdered. And the profilers, who are, I think, Jonathan Groff and some guy, so two white guys, their main insight is that it's not a bunch of hate crimes, it's that the murderer is black, and they're portrayed as, like, this is their insight. And in this movie, the insight of the coach is black people are good at basketball, which is, like, turns out to be vindicated very quickly. But, like, I don't know, isn't, like, the racial trailblazer that you sort of expect? It's that, like, you know, I mean, it's just, it's exactly, like, I guess in the current day, it just seems like exactly the thing you'd expect. And yeah, I don't know. It's like a movie that it's obviously like about racism. That's like the point of the movie, in a way that, say, like Coach like, I guess, Remember the Titans is, but Coach Carter isn't really. But it's done so... I don't think the movie handles the racism very consistently, I guess. Right?
No, it's done very poorly. It kind of ignores it in the beginning. So when I went to watch this movie, Jess and I sat down to watch it, and like 5-10 minutes in, she's like, I'm pretty sure we've seen this before. We've watched this together. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I watched a little more, and I remember the recruiting scenes, and he's going around recruiting good basketball players that are just overlooked for racist reasons. And I'm like, oh, no shit. This isn't revelatory. This is just like, okay, he's just choosing to not be racist and then allowing good basketball players to join his team. What a fucking idea. So I walked away from this movie in the beginning. I was like, well, no shit. Okay, you just stop being racist and allow good basketball players to be on your team. Okay, cool. Yeah, he's going to find success. Great. That's the end of the movie, right? So I actually watched it the second time through, and that's exactly how it played out. Like, you just stop being racist, and then you allow good players to join your team, and you fucking win championships.
But, like, the coach, Coach Haskins, never even seemed racist.
He was just never, that was his first opportunity. He was just like a random women's high school coach or something before that.
Yeah, which comes up a couple times, but like, they just want to make fun of him for it.
Oh, whereas the other head coach in Remember the Titans is somewhat racist. Or he's at least leery of black people.
Is he?
A little bit? Coach, I think he is.
Hayden Panettiere's dad?
Yeah.
Is it Bill Paxton or Bill Putnam? It's one of them.
Sure.
Maybe, but him and Denzel seem to get along pretty well. I mean, he has a black friend. I don't know. They seem like... I mean, it doesn't seem like... I mean, in that, the integration was, like, forced, I think, by, you know, probably some state law that was being passed. So it was more of, like, a bigger thing. But this guy just was like, oh, like, he goes to his first thing. He sees the black guys not getting playing time. And then he goes and says... No, I want to play you. Like, you know, you seem good. His only, like, racial thing was he was like, I don't know, these black kids play a little too flashy for me. And then they're like, Coach, you got to let us be flashy. And he's like, okay. Like, it was an entire half of basketball he held to his fundamentals thing. And he was like, nah, just do some street ball stuff. And they were like, yeah, no, that works. Like, in the street ball, when they're like, you got to let us be us, it's like, the guys just start getting steals all of a sudden, as if the coach had, like, coached them not to steal the ball. Because it would be, like, I don't know, too stereotypical. It's like, I don't know what, it's not even like, because, like, when the guys were, like, dunking and being flashy, it was like, they would score. It wasn't like they would, in Remember the Titans, there's a scene where, I forget which player it is, but, not, sorry, Remember the Titans, Coach Carter, where one of the players is on a fast break, and instead of going for an easy layup, he does like a step back three, and Coach Carter is frustrated with that. And that's like being flashy in a way that's like high risk and like might be detrimental. And there's like a benefit to teaching people to be like disciplined and, you know, unselfish and, you know, whatever. In this, the coach has no useful insight at all at any point in the entire movie. Like, he offers nothing. The only thing he does is, like, you know, go to the administrator and say, there's no rule saying black people can't play basketball. And that's, like, the end of his contribution to this entire... Like, he could have walked away. He could have been like, I found some black kids. Let them go. Let them do it. You know? Like, he did nothing. I don't know.
Well, so in the beginning of the movie, he was preaching fundamental basketball. And, you know, I'm fish out of water. I don't know too much about basketball or, you know, what it takes to succeed in the sport, but it just seemed that, like, he was encouraging them to just go for easy layups instead of dunks. Is that the only difference? He's like, go for the safe play.
He didn't like their, like, behind the back dribbles, and so those are things that, like, he directly addressed as not liking. It seemed like he didn't like the defense where they were, like, full court pressing, because they only did that after he said, okay, play your game. So, like, I'm assuming it was something of those three things that he wasn't a fan of them doing.
Yeah.
Because he always made comments about their, like, you know, unnecessary crossovers or behind-the-back dribbles or spin moves or stuff like that.
Yeah, he's like, that's insecurity, and you shouldn't do that. And like, but dunking versus a layup isn't like, there's no benefit to doing the layup.
I think that's like a thing of the time, though, right? Like,
well, I think dunking was not allowed after, soon after this, because of partially this, they said, and partially Kareem. But in general, yeah, I don't know. His like style of basketball didn't seem to add anything. I mean, in Coach Carter, again, I don't mean to compare them constantly, but in Coach Carter, like, you know, he has them run a lot. And I think it's in the first game, you know, he's saying, look at those guys over there. They're breathing hard. They're winded. And then his team comes back because they have better conditioning. And you're like, okay, the discipline he taught them mattered in some way. But this whole thing was like, no, like, you just got to find five black guys and, like, you got the best basketball team in the country. Like, I swear to God, everyone else was just missing out on these black guys. Like, that was the whole thing. It was like, it wasn't even clear if there was anything special about these particular guys. I assume they were good, but, like, you would sort of expect it to be, like, I think when we saw, so we did sort of see it with, was it Bobby Joe, right?
Yep.
In the game he plays, that he's, like, on the bench and he's not really playing, he does, like, come in and immediately, like, play really well. You sort of expect to see, like, these guys, like, they're playing on the street, maybe, because they're not allowed to play in the gym type of thing. You know, so, like, where they're being more frozen out of stuff. But you don't really see that early on. It's just sort of like he's round. It's sort of like he's Ocean's Elevening his team at the beginning, where he's just, like, rounding up all these guys with a particular set of skills.
I mean, there's the scene with Bobby Joe where he, like, doesn't want to play because he understands that teams just have kind of like the token guy and like they only play in certain situations or whatever. So like maybe that's part of why the other guys aren't, you know, playing on teams or whatever.
Yeah, that is sort of it, like where he is. He,
because like, that is the first like recruitment setup they do, you know?
Right.
Like,
I mean, the idea that he's like very, very good but not allowed to play seems important versus just like the idea of like, oh, I can't get any white players, so I'll find some black players, and oh, they just happen to be a national championship team. You know, like, I don't know. I think, like, to make it more, like, clear, you'd want the idea that these players are just, like, really being frozen out. I don't know. Maybe that was clear to other people, but it just, like, it didn't seem like, I don't know. It wasn't stressed, really. And the players in the school seem to be pretty fine with them. Instantly, like, they're a little awkward at first, but they all get along. And there's, well, there's never really any racial tension from their teammates, other than, like, the first time they fuck around in the cafeteria a little bit.
So, I guess my fucking history of the NBA is a little bit hazy. Okay. Like, when was Wilt Chamberlain popular? Wikipedia says 1959 to 65, all of which is before this took place. So, it's like, having black people play basketball wasn't forbidden. He didn't do anything.
Like, that was always allowed.
It was always allowed. Like, the racism early on in this movie was, you know, I guess the black people weren't trusted to lead the team. That was the crux, right?
There's the comment with the other coach Ross or whatever about the like unwritten rules or whatever. So like, I think the thing was like playing, you know, that many together, because he says like one or two at a time or whatever, but I think like the thing was him playing, you know, five and having two come off the bench.
Yeah, no, fair, like I get that, but the idea that like it was weird that like the Kentucky team was all white, so I think in the movie they specifically mentioned that like it's different in the South.
Yeah,
where Wilt I think was playing in Philadelphia at this
and...
time. I mean, at this time, I think it was Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Yeah, like, but, I mean, Bill Russell was winning MVPs in Boston at this point. Although, I mean, and it wasn't like Boston wasn't racist.
They just liked their championships.
They did like their championships. but, like, the school seems to have, it's, like, weird. One of the local kids says, I've never seen a, I think he says, colored person.
Yeah.
Before. But then when they, like, go around town, there appear to be a lot of other black people. So it's, like, I guess maybe he just never left the farm and maybe he had never seen another human
being. That is the guy's follow-up, is you got to get off the farm more.
Yeah.
Because the like, other players, you know, were just, you know, seemed like that's weird you haven't seen.
Yeah, it just seemed like maybe the kid never left his farm and just, yep. couldn't figure anything out. So yeah, I mean, they just end up having like a regular basketball season, and they win all their games. Like they're instantly. So one of the things about this, like, this is like based on a true story. It seems like in real life, the true story was just like they were instantly very good at basketball and then won a championship pretty convincingly in a pretty anticlimactic game. Because there wasn't really any like.
Well, the game showed them going, or the movie, sorry, the movie showed them going, what, 17-0 and then losing their last game after the.
They went 23-1 in real life. I don't know if it was meant to be the same or. You know, if the numbers got changed a little bit, but
they lose the last game.
Last game of the season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay.
I thought they had already been in the.
After they had that hotel room.
Yeah.
Incident.
So there's like a race. There's like an incident where people smear blood and write racial slurs in the hotel room. And then they sort of like turn on the white players and refuse to pass them the ball.
That's why they lose.
During the game, and they lose, which, like, further, like, muddles the message where, like, it's like, oh, the black players are actually, like, pretty hostile towards their white teammates who, like, seem pretty chill the whole time. But then the white guy's like, now we have to take a backseat to you guys, which, like, I don't know. I would have thought that that would have been set up more during the movie. Well, like, I think that was that Jerry Armstrong?
Yep.
You would have thought that, like, during the movie, he would have, like, sort of complained about not getting as much playing time, or, like, Coach would have been like, Jerry, I'm going to sit you for this guy, and he would have been like, oh, my God, Coach, what the fuck? But it only comes up in that one scene, he's just like, we're the minority here, and the other guy's like, we're always the minority, and you're like, well, the white guys seem really stupid here, but the black kids are, like, refusing to pass them the ball and keep calling them honkies for some reason, and it's just like, what is, like, what's happening here? Like, I don't know what was going on with the movie at that point. I imagine it was like, you know, race, you know, hate begets hate, and it was like sort of a cascade of racism. But it wasn't clear, like, what the message of it was in that moment.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think attributed to their success? Right? Because as soon as they... If they were undefeated at the beginning of the season playing fundamental basketball...
Well, they played fundamental basketball for half
a game. So it was literally a game and a half, and they were down big at halftime.
I thought it was literally half a game.
No, they won their first one fine. Or not fine, but close, but they played his thing the whole time.
Oh, did they? Okay.
And it was like at halftime of the second one when they were down like 16 or something.
And then they're like, we're peacocks, you gotta let us fly.
Basically,
and what fucking does,
yeah.
Right?
Well, he says, okay, play your game. But also play my game. It's just like okay.
My question is, can the white players play street ball? Like, can they do that just fine? Is it gonna fuck up their game? Because like I don't know the difference between fundamental basketball and street ball is. Is it just the behind the back shit?
Yeah, none of the white guys can dunk, I guess.
Yeah, we don't see any of them dunk or do any fancy dribbles.
Okay, so they are peacocks. You just got to let them fly.
I actually don't know if I see a white guy dribble in this entire on the team in the entire movie. It seems like
it's mostly catch and shoots, and then you see them playing defense and rebounding.
I think they're literally just like setting screens. And, you know, they really settled into their role pretty quickly. And one guy, Jerry, is supposed to be like good at defense, I guess. Yeah. He's a tenacious defender over there. You know, real Alex Caruso, light lunch pail type.
Well. So you mentioned the booster, right, being racist, and this movie failed to set up enough tension early on. But like, my question was, why did he wait until they were on a 17-game win streak to go into the guy's office and be like, "Hey, man, I think you're playing too many black players," you know? Like, was his schedule just too busy? He couldn't get there at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
didn't it feel like it kind of just dropped it on you halfway through the season?
Yeah,
it might have been that was the first time that like they were like big stories and he was hearing about it. Because they don't give a shit about anything but football, right? Like,
yeah, but he like if you're like the booster and you like care a lot about the team, like you would think you'd be like, I don't know, you check the scores regularly, not like,
yeah,
oh yeah, I heard this bet. Like, yeah, I mean, it feels like this was like a movie they kind of wrote all the way. I mean, obviously, it's a true story, so that's not what happened. But then they, like, just like dropped scenes of racism in at sort of random intervals. Like they get like jumped in a diner at some point, and then the announcers are like racist in the bathroom, and then some ladies at a party are racist, and then there's a lot of like stuff interspersed, but it doesn't like follow the plot very much. Like it doesn't like, it's just sort of tangential a lot of the time to a movie that's, it's where it's not supposed to be tangential. It's like the point of the movie.
Well, I think it's an unfair characterization to say that this is based on a true story. Like, this is the fucking farthest from the truth of what happened, right? It's just, it's framed in a way to play up certain elements that I'm not convinced were fucking there, right? Like,
yeah, like, definitely... was the South really racist in the 60s? Like, is there any evidence?
It's just like, it makes you think you recruited them all at once. Don't think that happened. So much other shit is played up, and you know, like, definitely this team was assembled.
Yeah, it's based on a true story. It's not.
It's a dramatization. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a movie. It's not a documentary. No, I mean, like, that's fair, but it's just, I don't know. I think it could have been a little bit like clearer with its through line of like what was happening. You know, because like, so you mentioned at the end, like, in your summary, you said they win a championship against Kansas City and the racist coach.
Yeah.
The coach, like, I guess, is, in reading some of the, like, the controversy section about the movie.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be implied that he's racist, but...
In the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, explicit, right?
No, it's just like, I think it boiled down to him saying, oh, I wouldn't have recruited them, or something.
I think Bobby Joe says he wouldn't have recruited me, right?
Yeah, he's like, oh, some say he's the best guard in the country. If I had a choice between him and you, I'd take you. And he's like, oh, that's good, because, you know, he wouldn't take me.
Yeah, which is like a weird way to write that line. But like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but like...
But, so, I mean, were they just being careful because these are real people, and they don't like... want to overdo the racism and, like, you know, tarnish this person's name? Because I think he's, like, a pretty revered basketball coach, right? Like,
yeah, but, like, so, I mean, it is implied that he's racist, sort of. And, I don't know. So, reading, like, the controversy about it, like, Kentucky was more integrated than other things, and that guy recruited some pretty well-known black players, and they played against other opponents with black players when other players wouldn't.
Why imply he was racist?
It sort of like implied it, but like it didn't go through. Like, I was expecting in the huddle at the end them to have him say something a little bit more explicit, but he just like never does. He's just like, they're a tough team, but you guys should win this game, and then they don't. It was like,
yeah, it mostly just seemed like he didn't respect like them as a team, not having anything to do with them being black or not. He just like, who are these no-name guys that, you know, came at, like, I, you know, we should.
And they all from some like random college. But like, if this was had no racial element and it was school called Western, was it West Texas Miners?
You know, the Western, yeah.
Yeah, like some random school you never heard of, and then Kentucky, which is a well-known basketball school. Like, if you made this today, and all the players were black because it's today, and you know, Kentucky or the Texans team would still be an underdog. And the coach could have used that same exact... Everything he said in this movie, he could have said the same lines. They just, like, really wouldn't commit to making him racist or making him a little bit villainous. His wife, like, comes up and, like, calls the other women racist at some point when talking to Bones. So, like, it's not clear if, like, her husband was supposed to be racist and she wasn't, or if they were just, like, an anti-racist family in Kentucky. Like, I don't know what... was going on with them.
But yeah, you mentioned they were underdogs. They weren't underdogs. They were ranked second in the country. They were 23-1.
Right.
Well,
I mean,
Kentucky was number one in the country, though, right?
Sure. But like, they're underdogs, like, just before the season, they'd be underdogs. You know, like, before you see the performance. You know? I mean, I guess by the time you get to the national championship, I guess they were still underdogs, but it's hard to be, like, a huge underdog once you, you know, made it to the NCAA finals. you just sort of assume to be.
And I mean, I don't know how conferences and scheduling worked back then, but like sometimes, you know, some teams would play an easier schedule than others, you know, and because of their record would get to the thing. But even though they might have a better record, they might be considered worse than the team who might have lost because they played a better schedule or something like that, you know?
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, Boise in football, Boise State would be like 13-0 every season playing against God knows who. And like they would still always be considered underdogs against, you know, teams in better conferences. This is football. But I basketball could be similar. It's a lot of time. Yeah, so I don't know. It was largely fun. I had trouble. I had trouble differentiating all of the players in this movie compared to something like Coach Carter, where I feel like all the players were a little more like fully formed.
You got Channing Tatum, Tito Cruz. You got the guy's son. You got Worm. Yeah. Like junior, memorable fucking people.
Junior battle. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this, it was like, you got the guy with the mother, who I think is Harry.
Harry Flournoy. Yep.
You got Billy Joe, Bobby Joe. You have the kid. Oh, the kid who has Chris Bosh disease. And they're like, Coach, he'll die if he plays. You can't play him. And then the coach is like, I'm sorry, son. You can't play because you might die. The doctor said you'll die. And then his mother's like, no, like, he's gonna play, even if he'll die. And the coach is like, no, he can't play, he might die. And she's like, I know all about his disease, and I want you to play him. And you're just like, is this mother a sociopath? Like, why does she want her son to die? And then he plays, and there's no consequences. So, like, what was happening? Was the doctor just full of shit? Like, I don't know. Like, why was that a thing, you know? And that was Krieger.
Willie Cager.
Oh, yeah. Cager.
Cager.
Worsley was the really short guy who got made fun of all the time. That was one of my favorite lines in the movies, was all the short jokes.
Yeah, there were some guys, but like they just did, I don't know. So you had, I think Bobby Joe was like dating the girl. And the coach also was like dating. And you sort of thought like maybe the guy would be dating a white girl. And the coach would, like, despite having these kids play basketball, still be kind of racist if he was dating a white, like, if the guy was dating a white girl. You know what I mean? Like, the coach would have some sort of, like, because, like, the coach was, like, not, like, this is Haskins, right? Is that his name? Was, like, kind of, like, he wasn't racist. He was just like, we'll get the black kids. But he wasn't, like, well-informed about racism. He was just sort of, like, oblivious. He was mostly, like, colorblind, I guess. But it, like, it seemed like it would have been, like, more of a narrative if he had some kind of, you know, his own racism to overcome. But he was just like, no, I don't want you dating because you'll get distracted from basketball if you have a girlfriend.
So where did he, do we know where he was coaching high school? Did he just not experience racism before? This is why he was just, like, colorblind. He was just like, ah, whatever, like, I don't care. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I don't know if it even mentions where he was. It sort of, when they start talking about fundamentals, I sort of wanted them to be like, when he coached the girls' team, it was all about fundamentals. Because they keep talking about him being a girls' coach. And then him being like, yes, it's all about defense and fundamentals. None of that athleticism shit. But that never comes up. They just.
Wikipedia says Haskins began coaching small-town Texas high schools from 55 to 61.
So yeah, he's already in Texas. Okay.
Already in Texas.
Yeah, so, I don't know. He just, like, had never heard of racism before. And then he, I guess, sort of... But, like, every time they experience racism, he's just like, okay, guys, let's get back on the bus. Like, we'll just drive to the next town, away from the racism. Like, that happens, like, five separate times. And he's married to Bones. So someone... They live in the dorm for some reason. And they get, like, racist notes slid under their thing. So it's implied that there's, like, some racists in the dorm or in the school. But I really don't think there's any instance where they're at school that you see anyone being racist towards the guys.
No.
Is there?
No,
is there,
I mean, not really. I mean, their first home game, when they announce the three black players in the starting lineup, they get no applause or cheers except from, like, their teammates.
Yeah. Oh, was that a home game?
The first one's a home game. When they announce them, you know, their first two guys get a lot of cheers, and then when they announce the next three, okay. it stays pretty quiet.
That happens. But there's like a long line.
They just
kind of
like look at them sideways a couple times, but it's nothing like.
But that's like mostly their teammates, right? Who are like looking at them, and then they're like, "What are you looking at?" And then they like all sort of become friends.
I guess it was mostly their teammates. Yeah.
And like they go to the cafeteria workers, and the guy's like, "Okay, it's tacos today." And the guy's like, "No, I want a hot doggo." And like, you're just like, "Okay, so like this guy's kind of like the player's kind of being obnoxious." But it's like, you would sort of think like maybe the cafeteria worker would like disrespect them, or like the teacher when the kid has his mom there, like the teacher wouldn't call on, like, I don't know, something to show that like they were experiencing some racism just in the school. But I guess maybe they don't want to portray the school negatively, you know, for whatever reason, licensing maybe. But it was just like, it always just seemed like everyone was super chill. I mean, it just seems like that's the thing. It seems like the racism just disappears when it's not like part of the scene, you know.
So, but I mean, by the time we were seeing the classroom scenes, were they not already on like a big win streak? Maybe by then everyone's just kind of like, oh, you know, they're winning. It's cool now.
Yeah, so everyone except the booster was happy once they won.
Yeah,
I guess. But then once they continued winning, the booster, I don't know, read about it in the newspaper and was like, "Yep, I was really smart to
get all look what they said about me." Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, listen, they, I don't know. It's just like, for a movie that's about racism, it just like is a little casual with its portrayal of the racism. Because that is all it's about. It's also sort of about basketball. But the basketball scenes are really bad. Like, it is very difficult to... when you're shooting sports, you're not going to show the whole game. So you want to just sort of, like, tell the story of the game with the shots you choose to show. And I feel like they just did not do that. Like, they'd show a couple plays, then they'd cut to the score. And the score wouldn't, like, necessarily reflect the flow of how the, like, what those plays would indicate.
Yeah.
You know, it would just be like, okay, and the score is 50-50, and then they get two dunks, and then the score is 60-50, and you're like, how does this adding up? Like, this.
The last game where they're like losing because they're disconnected and not playing well, like the way it's shot, you think they were getting smoked by like 20, but I think they lose by like 5 or 6. You know, but like every scene you see is them turning it over, score, turnover, score. It's just like, oh, these guys must be getting crushed, but yeah. Just weirdly shot.
You would think, I don't know, they just couldn't quite get it. And yeah, I mean, it's weird. I mean, remember the Titans probably wasn't out when they shot this, but there are some scenes that definitely remember the Titans. Like, when, like, it's never clear if, like, they're not being reffed fairly, which is something that happens in Remember the Titans. Because the guy said, like, you know, he's sticking out his leg. You know,
remember
he's
the
like,
Titans
he's,
was
oh,
2000. This was 2006. This was what. Remember, the Titans came out years before this movie.
Oh, sorry, I was thinking of Coach Carter. Okay,
Coach Carter, 2005.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I had my dates mixed up. So yeah, there's a scene with, I think, Donald Faison in Remember the Titans where he's like, "Coach, they keep holding me," and the guy's like, "I don't want any excuses. Like, I know they're being racist, but like, get over it. We're pushing through." And this, like, he's like, the guy's sticking his knee out, and like, I don't know. It's not clear if the refs are being racist.
Yeah, it seemed like they were kind of trying to set up, like, I think that was David Latin. Like, they were just unfairly calling him, but then they also, like they say he, like, fouled out of 10 games. You're like, oh, maybe he just gets a lot of bad calls. But then the few times you do see him, like, getting fouls, he's, like, hacking the shit out of people. Like, he's just, like, crushing, like, the Kentucky one. He just, like, you know, cracks the guy on like the second play of the game. Like
he's using his physicality. It's not like he's getting soft calls. And he's like, "Coach, I can't play strong because they called not ticky tacky stuff on me." And this is just it. He's just like barreling some guy over and then like looking at staring him down.
Yeah, he's just like stared him down after he just...
The other coach is like, "That's a flagrant." And the ref's like, "No, just two shots. Calm down, jerk off." Like, I don't know. It was just like, I didn't know. Like, it seemed like there were like 5 racists in the movie. And, like, everyone else was mostly chill. But, like, I imagine that wasn't what was happening at the time. You know?
Yeah. But, of course, this movie had, you know, it tried to do the racial bonding scenes. Right, because remember the Titans is just fantastic because you got Ethan Suplee as the big fat white guy. He's singing soulful music, right? He's the one that bridges the gap in that movie, and it's done just fantastically, right? And then in this fucking movie, like whenever they meet each other, they still all choose to sit at the same table in the cafeteria. But then as they're like, I don't know, jockeying for fucking position on the team, the next scene it breaks out into them playing cabbage ball. In the cafeteria? Like, do you remember? Like, how fucking stupid was
this
that?
This is like a friendly scrimmage, you know?
A friendly scrimmage of cabbage ball. They're playing with a fucking head of lettuce.
What,
what's
the cafeteria? What do you think? They got access to a basketball in a cafeteria?
It's sort of dumb, but, like, it doesn't seem hostile, right?
Yeah, it just seems like they're just, like, I don't know. They're playing a little physical, but, like, they're just, like, you know, I don't know.
Like, so remember the Titans, like, I forget the main white kid's name. The kid who gets Gary Boucher, maybe? Is that his name?
Yeah, Gary is his first name. I forget his last name.
I think I'm close. I might be thinking Billy Boucher.
Bobby Boucher.
Bobby Boucher. So is
high quality H2.
Is like, you know, I think he comes up to like the... I think it was... I think his name was Wood something, right? The actor. But the like the black captain... And he's like, you know, we'll need four of your guys on offense. We got our defense all set. Like, we don't need you guys. And, like, they're a little standoffish and hostile in that movie. In this, like, the players just never seem to... They're like, I'm going to start. No, I'm going to start. Like, I don't know. They're mostly, like, friendly rivalry. Like, that.
The practice gets a little chippy, right? When he just, like, takes the guy out. And then, like, I don't know. But, yeah, it's not much, right? Like...
Yeah, there's very little tension between the teammates. Like,
I don't think they were racist. I think they got along. So the Remember the Titans is forced integration. That's everyone at once, half blacks, half whites, joining the team. This, I think, was a culmination over a couple years, and that's where the movie is disconnected from reality. Because black people playing basketball in an organized team for a school wasn't new. This is like just, oh, okay, cool. You're another player on the team. You're also good at sports. Who cares? Race isn't an issue, but the movie's trying to make it the issue. And it was
just
wasn't.
Well, I mean, I think
race
was still an issue at this time. But, like, remember the Titans? I mean, the real story in that, I think the school was already integrated. Like, I think that was definitely one of those sort of based on a true stories that was not super accurate. But
it was at least internally consistent within the movie, and it was dropped in their lap. Like, it was abrupt and sudden and
overnight. From a player's standpoint, though, all these guys would be dropped in their lap, right? Like, you could have done something where they're a little, like, more standoffish or there's a little more tension, but they really don't even seem to try to do that. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. There's just that they settle it with cabbage ball, I guess.
Yeah, and then
they go to the party together or whatever. They get, you know, they bond a little bit there.
Yeah, they do some bonding. But, like, there's never a point where they're like, the guy's like, do you guys like to be called black or colored? And they're like, black. And he's like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. It's like, I'm sort of ignorant about this stuff. And they're like, don't worry, but it's like, well, friendly. And then they are. They're just, I mean, which I guess is good. I guess it's better than... The players, I mean, I guess they didn't, I don't know, maybe they didn't want to portray the players. Maybe the players weren't that racist, I don't know. But, like, it's just, for a movie about the racism, it just isn't there a lot of the time. And, like, it would have been, the final thing is, the coach announces before the final game that only the black players are going to play. And the white players seem chill with it. And it seems sort of, it seems like the only reason he would do that would be to make, like, a statement, because it seemed like the white players that were playing before that, and I guess the Hispanic guy, like, had sort of earned their playing time. It didn't seem like he was doing them a favor up till then. In the game right before that, he even subbed one of the white kids in because the black kid was having trouble defending the other kid.
Well, they set up Jerry Armstrong being good, but I don't think it's set up that any of the rest of them are any good. Because the only other one you see play is the guy with the glasses, like Bodane, I think is his name. And the other player immediately comments, oh, looks like coach is emptying the bench today or something. It's like, I don't know. Because we never see a scene of any of the rest of them doing anything other than Jerry playing the defense.
Right, but I think they had been starting 3 black kids and 2 white kids up till then. Right?
The first game of the season, they started 3 black kids, and then Jerry, and then the Hispanic guy, Palacio, maybe?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it just seemed like it was, like, if he wasn't playing the white kids anyways, he wouldn't have needed to, like, announce that.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it was weird to, like, announce that, then them talk about how they had an all-black starting lineup all of a sudden. And then if you read, like, I think the coach, if you watch the credits tank, or read any of the statements online, he's like, yeah, I just played whoever I thought was best, you know. But in the movie, he's like explicitly making a political statement, sort of, which is just sort of contrary to everything the coach has said publicly. And it was just sort of like a strange thing to like, because the black kids had just like frozen the guys out like not too long ago. Then the one white kid, Jerry, had contributed, you know, in a big way against, like, the, what would they call it? He was, like, an All-American
JoJo
point
White.
Guard. JoJo White, the game before. And then the guy was just like, yeah, no white people playing. And they were just like, well, I'm disappointed, but I understand. And it was just like, okay, well, I guess, like, you know, maybe the coach was like, I don't know. There was, maybe, like, I don't know if he had been only playing the white kids, like, because he couldn't commit to playing all black kids before that, but he should have been. But, like, out of his 7 black kids, one guy has a heart condition, and then one gets injured in the game. So, like, I don't know. You have a pretty thin bench at that point.
And the other guy is in foul trouble all the time, because he fouled on a 10-game
game. The other kid has, like, 3 fouls in the first quarter. It's like, why did you set this very rigid, race-based rule before the game? That, like, you have, like, I don't know. Like, if you had one more guy go down, you'd be playing 4 and 5 for some reason. Because you just told your white kids they weren't playing.
And it's not for low stakes. This is the fucking championship
game.
NCAA
championship, yeah.
This is, like, I don't, yeah. It's a weird choice. I don't know.
I've, like, never seen a movie, like, it's so weird because in real life, and and in the credits of the movie, he was like, yeah, I wasn't really trying to make a racial statement, but in this thing, he like very much was. It was so, it's so contrary to everything. I don't know.
Yeah, did you get through to the credits, Tank?
I did, yeah.
And they do like a couple of the videos and interviews and things like that.
Well, so I thought it was, I like when movies do that, right? I thought that was a fantastic element to this movie, and on a good note. Fucking the one and only.
I liked how it matched like some of the plays up that you like see in the movie, and it was like kind of cool that was like a real play that happened.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, cool, this actually happened. They're trying to do some storytelling. You know, I was disappointed in the movie, but you know, I like that element to movies when they exist, and I thought it was cool. But yeah,
the real Pat Riley was in it.
Oh, yeah, she was the waitress at the beginning or something.
No, Pat Riley is a man. He was one of the players on the Kentucky team.
He's the very famous person involved in the NBA. Yeah, he's, like, I think the general manager of the Miami Heat or something like that. Executive of the Miami Heat.
Former Kentucky basketball player.
Yeah. I don't know. The first half of this movie, you know, it was like, okay, the guy's just choosing to not be racist. And then it became race was the thing halfway through the movie, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. But then all the other teams in the NCAA tournament, they have black players, and I was like, whoa, I thought this guy was supposed to be like a first mover, and he just wasn't. So he's like, I gotta up the ante, we're going all black team.
Yeah,
you know,
it was like, yeah, like he was like, well, because I think Brandon mentioned it, but like they said early on, like, the rule is, like, you play 1 at home, 2 on the road, and 3 if it's a blowout.
Yeah, something like that.
So, he was sort of breaking the unwritten rules of, you know, don't play too many of them.
Yeah, because when, like, they played Kansas, who had JoJo White, who was the very good black player on their team, they were playing two black players, but it was an away game, I think.
Kansas was playing two black players.
Yes. They had JoJo White and one other player.
Was that not during the NCAA tournament?
Ooh, you're right. Yep. Yep, that was.
I thought that was like the first game of the tournament, maybe. I'm not 100% sure.
Which I guess I don't know the rules of being in the tournament because it's not really a home or.
Yeah,
a
I don't
game,
know what the racism rules for NCAA tournament were at that time. Like how many black people
Ross,
you
the there. Coach Ross
you have
didn't explain
three-fifths of your roster.
Yeah.
The problem with like unwritten rules is it's like hard to really like make sure everyone knows them because like you can't write them down.
They're unreadable. Yeah.
Even though you can, like, it's not like they couldn't be explicitly racist. They could have just made a rule like two blacks at a time or something. Yeah, it was such a weird. It says, like, he decides to experiment with a bold strategy, is how it's described in this. Like, was that a strategy? Like.
Was just... their play style more the strategy than the black players themselves? I guess they directly correlated to the play style, but, like, was it, like, the full court press, like, run play style?
It's, like, so weird to have that previous game. Of the guy come in, like have the coach sit the Shiloh and have Jerry come in and be useful and like help them win.
Yeah.
Rather than like the other way around, maybe. Like if he does it the other way around and then he realizes like, oh, you know, like using this all black lineup works, maybe we should keep doing that. Like that makes more sense, but it's weird to like have the white kid come in and contribute. And they'd be like, I have a new plan. No white people. And you're just like, I mean, I guess. Like, what did this
also
kid
no
do?
Also no Hispanics.
Yeah, oh yeah. That kid just got, like, collateral damage. And they're in El Paso. It's like, come on, guys. Like, if we can't even get playing time here. Like, every time they walked around, like, they kept running into everyone's Mexican. The guy says, you're going to say hola. What does that mean? It means hello, Puerto Ricans. I guess they were from New York, so maybe there were more Puerto Ricans than Mexicans there.
Are there any Mexican players in the NBA right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jaime Jaquez Jr.
Jaime Jaquez.
Okay.
There's at least one. I think there's... Oh, there's a couple others, but I don't
think...
What
about Jose Alvarado? Is he...
I was going to say Jose Alvarado, and I don't even know where he plays anymore, but he was on the Warriors recently.
What's his name?
I can't think of it. He wears number 95.
Could be anybody.
Yeah. Anyways, there's not many. There's a few.
So, yeah, there's many, but there was only one on this team, and he wasn't allowed to play. Yeah, it wasn't like, and like the time we saw them not working well together, it didn't like there was never a time where like the difference in play style seemed like an issue. There was only the time where the black players decided not to pass to the white players because they were mad about the racist hotel room stuff. But not, which wasn't done by their players. It was done by presumably other white people. Or maybe Mexicans, it was impossible to say. But presumably white people. And so it was just like sort of a weird, I don't know, it felt like a weird thing to have at the end. Rather than him just sort of like organically realizing that it made sense to play these guys instead. So I don't know. I found that a little strange.
Yeah. Well, my final thing I wanted to mention, I don't know how much more you guys have, but this won an ESPY for the best sports movie of 2006.
Yeah.
But I think that's complete bullshit, because She's the Man also came out in 2006. fucking Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights also came out in 2006.
I'm not with you there, but She's the Man was funny.
You know, and we can set aside the NASCAR sports argument, but She's the Man, clearly better than this movie.
Yeah, well, none of those other movies you're mentioning were nominated. So
Wild.
Because, well, like you said, NASCAR is not a sport.
That's fair. I get that.
I mean, but okay, so the other nominations are a movie called Dreamer, which is about horse racing. 4 minutes, which is about track and field. I think
Invincible came out in We Are Marshall. Like, there were so many other sports.
We Are Marshall. I did like
it's
that
about
one.
Breaking the 4 minute mark. And then the greatest game ever played. Invincible was Invincible and Talladega Nights and We Are Marshall were all 2007 nominees.
Ah, there you go.
And the greatest game ever played was about golf.
So it seems like a soft year for sports movies.
I mean, the winners of this are all over the place because it's The Rookie, Ben like Beckham, Miracle,
The Rookie,
Friday Night Lights, Glory Road, Talladega Nights, Semi Pro, Express,
I do
The
love
Blind
Semi-Pro.
Side, and The Fighter. And then they stopped doing it, probably because they kept nominating too many crazy movies.
That's funny, semi-pro one. That's funny.
The nominees the year before were Friday Night Lights won over Cinderella Man, Coach Carter, and Million Good Dollar Lord. Baby. I like Friday Night Lights, which I think also had Derek Luke, maybe? So I guess he got in two sports movies right in a row. But Million Dollar Baby and Coach Carter, I think, are both probably better movies than that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. A lot of stuff going on. This really seemed like a mashup of... The last thing I want to say is, the way the coach is, like, shot and portrayed in the first part makes him seem kind of, like, unhinged for some reason. Scary. He, like... They have a lot of like shots of him in like darkness, like he's a horror villain, and the way he talks to the kids just seems like so sort of like in the colloquial sense bipolar that it's like hard to understand like what this coach's characterization is at all. Like, he doesn't seem to have any like things, like he doesn't really contribute to the, you know, the team play. It's like when you watch like Coach Carter or you watch Remember the Titans, like both Denzel and Samuel Jackson's like characters have, I mean, Coach Carter and Coach Boone, I think, right? Have like characters that you could like describe. And this, like, this is just the guy. He's just like a guy. He like, when he first tries to recruit, was it Bobby Joe?
Yep.
He's like, I'd like to recruit you. And the guy's like, no, I don't want to. And rather than just like calmly explain, like, no, like, I want to play you. Like, you'll get playing time. Like, I'm making you an offer. Like, I'm serious. He, like, it's like a very high stakes, like, yelling argument about it that comes out of nowhere. Like, as if they cut out the first 10 minutes of the conversation.
Well, that's when he challenges to the game of one-on-one, right?
No, that's...
No, that was the other kid, right? Wasn't it? Oh,
that was Arston Ortis.
That scene was especially fucking stupid. He's like, hey, you don't want to do this stupid shit. You want to do this instead. And then he just like, he just allows him to pass him by and it works. And it's just like, oh, now you'll come play for me.
That was the scene I told Dave. I was like, it looks like neither one of these people has ever touched a basketball before. This like goofy rocker step like scene. Yeah.
He like shows him like, he's like, this is the move. And then he's like, which... now try it. And the guy tries it, but he's not playing anymore. He had stopped playing, so it's just like
out of all the random people are just going nuts when he makes the simple layup after this. Like,
he's like, and now you're ready. Travel. Like, I mean, nothing to travel in basketball, but like, it's like, yeah, are you ready? Like, he learned, like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know. Like, it's unclear if this guy knew anything about basketball. You know, like, he never like calls a play.
No.
You know, in like.
That one-on-one recruiting scene, that's where I stopped watching the first time Jess and I tried to watch it.
Yeah, that got you.
Yeah. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, recruiting scenes, I guess, like, supposed to be more, like, memorable for the individual players, but I don't know. It's just like, maybe the teams are just kind of too big. Although, I don't know.
They set up the guy's, the kid's mom in the one recruiting scene, I guess.
Yeah.
You, like, meet her after he, like, coach tries to follow the kid home from work down like a dark alley, like thinks that's the best way to recruit the guy.
Yeah, he's like, hey kid,
kid, you got a minute? The guy's just like, oh no, run, we're out of here.
He's like, hey kid, and then he comes home and he tells his mom like, oh, we almost got jumped by a couple of crackers. But like, why did he say like, hey, did he not know his name? Like, hey, kid, I'm a basketball coach, I'd love to talk to you about playing at my school. No, like, hey, kid, I'm coming for you. Come on, let me catch you. Wait up, I'm gonna get you. And he's in his car, like rolling next to the kid. Like, I was like, I don't know. This seems like a hate crime. Like, what did you think?
Yeah, I'd be scared too. Yeah, like...
yeah, it's like, come on. Like, he's like, kid, I'm coming for you. Like, it's so weird. I don't know. The whole fucking movie is just like so bonkers. It's just like, yeah, he just like.
Do you remember? Have you seen the Longest Yard remake with Adam Sandler?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd remember.
Well, there's a scene where he goes to recruit some of the black players, and he plays one of them one-on-one in basketball, and he just keeps getting fouled. But
yeah, he just gets like his ass kicked, basically, right?
He gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah.
And at the end, I don't know, there's like a bad call or whatever, bad beat, but Adam Sandler just takes it. And then Nelly's like, oh, anybody who can take an ass whooping like that with a smile on their face, I'm willing to play for him. And he recruits that way. Like, that would have been a better fucking recruiting scene than any other in this movie.
Yeah, like, I don't know, show like he has some kind of like cultural understanding of anything.
They also set up that recruiting the big guy, David Latin, was going to be the most difficult one, because they're very shocked when they get him. Why not show us that recruitment? That seemed like it would have been an interesting one. Because they're just like, oh, we got to get this guy. They're like, oh, there's no way you're getting this guy. There's no way he's coming there. Like, oh, son of a bitch, you got him to play here? It's just like, yep. It's like, where's the in-between? Let's see that recruitment.
Yeah, and he rolled up in like a pretty nice car. And
he had a rhythm.
And he hands his bag to like one of the other players. Like, was this guy like very wealthy, or was he just being a douchebag? Like, I don't. Like, what was being portrayed?
Yeah, that was unclear. Yeah. So he like, definitely seemed to have a lot of money, because he dressed really nice and had the really nice car.
He was doing pretty well. And like, so in Coach Carter, Junior Battle has the mother, who's played by Octavia Spencer. And she's like, she has like the same thing, like, you know, like she has like disagreements with the coach, but also like she wants him to do well in school, and she like sort of comes around to the coach's like way. Like in that, I guess it's more about the, this is like, this movie's also about the coach, but that is named after the coach, so I guess that makes more sense. You know, here's another thing. This is unrelated. Coach, Samuel Jackson said, I think recently, that he had never been the titular character in a movie. But, like, Coach Carter was called Coach Carter, and he was Coach Carter. So, like, how could that be the case? Right? But that's not true.
Does he definitely want the movie to be called Samuel L. Jackson?
I think he said it was when they when he was in Glass in 2019 was the first time that he was ever the titular character. It's like, no, you were Coach Carter. You were the coach the whole time. I don't know.
It's you the whole time, Sam.
But like, either way, that's not the point. But the point is, like, I don't know. A lot of this stuff just seemed like, and again, they couldn't have seen Coach Carter at the time, but like a mashup of Coach Carter in Remember the Titans.
Yep.
But like without all the charisma of those actors, because like there's a lot of like charisma in those. Like, you might just go watch, like, a scene from Coach Carter or Remember the Titans, and, like, there's a lot of, like, actors in that, and, you know, I don't know, stuff that's, like, interesting to watch.
There's probably a reason that the actor who played the coach hasn't been in anything else but Home Depot ads.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was in Sweet Home Alabama. He was in a couple other things. You're saying Josh Lucas?
Yeah, Coach Haskins.
Yeah. As Ford v Ferrari, apparently.
A budget Matthew McConaughey, right? Isn't it?
He does sort of look like Matthew McConaughey to
that's
me.
A good description.
I don't know if that's everybody. Yeah, I don't know. So ultimately, I thought it was an okay movie. I'm a sucker for sports movies, so it wasn't really hard to get me. There were some things I liked, but like none of the scenes really stuck out. You know, it's not like a movie where you're like, oh, that scene where they did this. Like, there's none of those scenes for me. You know. And I feel like that really costs. And the coach was like such a nothing. And his wife was in the movie, played by Emily Deschanel. And like you could have lifted her right out of the movie and nothing would have changed.
Yep.
She has like five scenes and they're all just useless wastes of time.
It didn't matter at all.
Yeah. And they had a baby in the first scene who I think never showed up again. I assume he moved into the baby moved into the dorm with them. And then I don't know, maybe I don't know, went to class all day. It's hard to tell. So,
yeah.
I don't know. So, what do you guys think of it? Brayden, this was your pick, so I assume you like this movie.
Yeah, I mean, Uncle's the good rating here, right? I can't really rate it anything lower than an Uncle. I'm a sucker for this movie. I've seen it a lot.
What did you think, Dave?
That's crazy to me.
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
It's like there's a big nostalgia factor here. I've seen this movie so many times.
But Coach Carter came out before this. Like, just keep... You may have seen Coach Carter, and then you may have seen this one. And it's like... Then you had a choice. And you should have chosen Coach Carter every time.
I didn't have the DVD of Coach Carter. I had the DVD of this. And when you have the TV with just the rabbit ears, you know, you have limited options.
At the end of the movie...
Which is why this and Rush Hour 2 were on repeat. I've seen each triple digits, you know?
At the end of the movie, they say, like, I forget which guy it was, set up, like, a program to help kids graduate.
I think that was Willie Cager. That was the heart guy.
That was Willie Cager?
Yep.
I want to set up, like, a foundation to send people who watch this movie DVDs of Coach Carter so they don't have to watch it a second time.
Have you or a loved one been subjected to Glory Road?
Contact now.
I mean, you know what? Coach Carter is interesting because it's not like about, you know, race is like definitely a part of it, but it's not, unlike Roman Titans, it's not about racism, but like the way race is dealt with in that movie, I think is like a lot more like, I don't know, interesting. And just like the way basketball in like a poor community is portrayed, I thought was a lot more interesting than the way it is in this movie. You know, in terms of like having all the kids get their education, having basketball not be the most important things in their life, having it be like a means to an end and like a bigger vehicle for, you know, because this was like basketball is a vehicle for social change, but like the ends of this movie is still just more basketball.
What did Pat Riley call it at the end? Like Emancipation Proclamation of 1966.
And I was like, well, that's a little bit self-serious. I'm like, you know, I guess
that's a little much, Pat.
I mean, he was the villain in this, so I guess he would be the Confederate Army of 1966. So I don't know. It depends really where how much you want to go down that rabbit hole, Pat.
He seemed fine with it.
Yeah, I mean.
But Coach Carter was 2005. And when was the last time, because was LeBron the last class that didn't have to go to college? You could go straight from high school to the NBA?
Yeah. I think
2003?
So. Was that 2003?
Yep.
Right?
Okay, so Coach Carter was shortly thereafter. Like, at that point, and the rule is only 1 year, right? But, like, Coach Carter is focusing on high school students, and school is a little more important for them because not all of them will make it to the next level. And at that point, the next level could very well be the NBA. So they're all vying for the NBA at that point. Whereas if there are sophomores and juniors in college, I guess school becomes less of the focus.
No, but like since you're unlikely to make the NBA, and I think only a couple of them did.
Yeah.
Like, especially since they got, I mean, the mother of, who is the mother of one of them, Harry's mother.
Yep.
Says, like, she's very excited for him to get an education.
About geology and mining?
Apparently. So, I mean, apparently, like, the education did matter in, I don't know, it just, I don't know. Like, I understand they were trying to tell a specific story. Like, I sort of wish they had, like, taken more liberties with the story to make it a better movie than to, you know, not do that, I guess. Like, to stick to the realistic story, sort of, that wasn't as interesting, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe, like, our perception of college these days and university, it, you know, having gone to institutions that are, you know, national public universities that offer a breadth of programs versus this school, which might only be a mining school, or, you know, I'm sure there's some schools in North Carolina that were historically just agriculture schools. Like, you go there and instead of taking, you know, biology and fucking trigonometry, you're just taking, like, oh, which seeds do you fucking plant beside each other so that they grow through the seasons? Like, that was their...
Is that all your classes?
Not a lot, but some kids from my high school went to NCA&T, which is agriculture and technology.
Yeah. So it's like...
It's like farming shit.
Those were degrees, I guess, before... I don't fucking know. More industrialization, growth hormone for chickens, GMOs. Yeah. So... I don't know.
Well, so they used these degrees to start, like, foundations and things, it looked like, right? Like, a couple of them.
I'm happy for them. I'm happy for them. They got an education. they did something that had never been done before in the championship game, so good for them. Movie still sucked. Total nephew.
You do not like it?
Not a fan.
Just one thing about the real school, and this is only in the current day, so it's hard to tell. The racial breakdown in the school is 1% Asian, 2% other, 2% black, 4% foreign national, 5% white, 86% Hispanic. So, like, those guys did not factor into the movie, but just imagine that the whole school was Hispanic around this. Which, like, was sort of portrayed because they were always serving tacos and burritos at the food court. But, like,
yeah, they said, oh, we get a big crowd on taco night, you know?
You know? Yeah, I don't know. So, out of Coach Carter, Remember the Titans, and this, I think I would go, like, Coach Carter, Remember the Titans. This. Would you... What order would you guys have?
Brayden, you want to go?
I haven't seen Coach Carter in a while, so it's hard for me to put that one on the rating, but I would put... I think I'd put Remember the Titans ahead of this. But okay. I do like this movie, so...
Said you like this better than Coach Carter, so I feel like...
Because I haven't seen it, yeah.
I feel like that's got to be...
I'd probably put this... Yeah, I'd probably put the second and Coach Carter third, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I'd probably watch Coach Carter before I watch Remember the Titans like you, Monica.
I mean, I like Remember the Titans. I think there's a lot of good stuff there.
Absolutely. But,
Coach, I mean, Remember the Titans is, I think, a little bit more of a kid's movie. So I think just as an adult, that makes it a little less rewatchable.
It's still captivating. It's still compelling. It still tugs at your heartstrings to see Julius, you know, crying in the hospital for his crippled friend Gary, who's cheering on his team in the championship.
I like the movie, but I think it's just like being a kid's movie means you spend a little, like, it's a little flatter sometimes because it needs to be obvious for kids.
No.
You know? But yeah, okay, so we tried it. You know, Brayden made a choice. And, you know, I think it's good that we had him on the show. You know, we'd love if other people came on, you know, if they have their own movies they want to have us watch.
Yeah, so this could be a format you guys mix in.
Yeah, occasionally. We should have our producer try to recruit some people.
Well, what's crazy is we invited our only fucking listener to join the show. So, you know, chances are high that if you're listening to this, if you'd like to be a guest on the show,
you might get one less listener
on this
episode.
Does this mean we're
going to
have no listens on this episode?
It might be, because I don't think I'm going to listen to myself.
No, a lot of people sort of debate this. Is it weird to listen to your own show and giggle hysterically at it? Is that a strange thing to do? Because I know a lot of really cool people who do that frequently.
I think it's good from like a self-evaluation perspective. What worked, what didn't? Oh, I should have done that. Oh, we should really lean into this next time.
What about listening to it, though, and just finding yourself extremely hilarious?
I think if you listen to it a second time, you might have something wrong upstairs. Yeah. I think you could listen to it once and then be done.
What if there's like a decent break between them and you've sort of forgotten how many good lines you had? I mean, just absolute bangers.
Yeah, I mean, if you take a 2-year hiatus from your podcast and want to sort of remember the flow of it, yeah, I'd say you could probably listen to him a second time at that point. Let's set the threshold at 2 years.
2-year break. Okay, yeah. I'm on my calendar.
It's decided. Yep.
Yeah, you guys can probably only listen to this episode max like 30 more times in your life. Okay,
that really puts a clock on your life, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was dark. That was dark.
That's dark. Okay, boys. Well, it's been fun.
Sign we didn't get off. Your rating on this.
Oh, this was a. You know what? I think it's an uncle.
Oof.
I think it's like I really like sports movies, and I think it's watchable. I think there's some fun stuff in there. It's not something I'd like want to rewatch, but I think it's like it wasn't bad to watch once.
I think that says it all. How's that not in the nephew camp? If you fucking don't want to watch it again, that's got to be a nephew.
I don't think so. Like, I'm not.
You probably give it like a step something then, right? Like, you guess.
It's like when I listen to our podcast next time, I'm not going to be upset that I listened to it, but I probably won't watch it for listen to it for another couple of years.
That's by law, you can't for another 2 years. That, well, yeah, there's rule for this.
It's an unwritten law that you can only, you know, listen to a podcast so many times, you know? So. Okay, well, I think we're good here.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. Thanks for joining.